No, she didn't. She didn't have a bad life, but she had a very monotonous sort of life. And of course, the man she married afterwards wanted to be friends with her. Years when they were kids, when they were youngsters growing up, and my father, her father said to him, "You're not having anything to do with that Roach family. You're not meeting that man Roach." Of course, she took it, that was it. She's packed up. Her father said she'd pack up, she packed up.
Yeah.
And Jim married later, you see. And of course, he was widowed.
Yes.
And it was quite romantic. She used to go out to meet him, and she was a woman, she was nearly 50 then, you see. She used to go out to meet him, and there was a gate they used to stand by and used to do all the chatting and courting there, you see. And then eventually, of course, she never told my father anything of this, my father anything of this, because he would have agreed with the old man that the Roaches weren't the family she ought to get in with. Yeah. She was a Fitzgerald, and she ought to be thinking of somebody else, you see. She had been engaged to a cousin who was in the South African military force, and he was a captain there, but he died. Well, she had his ring, actually. I don't know who's got that, but she had a ring from him, and an inscription on the inside of another rest of Delia, I don't know what his name was. Anyway, and, of course, I never saw him or didn't know anything about him, apart from the fact that. But when she married Jim Roach, she didn't say anything whatsoever about it until she was in the Isle of Man, where they went for their honeymoon. And she sent my father a cryptic card. On holiday here, for the best of all reasons. Jim and I got married such and such a day. And we were having a holiday here. And that was the only intimation we got. Because I think she realized, she felt, I don't think he would, I think he'd have said, "Oh, well, if that's what she wants to do, let her get on with it."
Yeah.
You know, but she felt that he might try to stop her, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He might sort of feel that his father wouldn't have agreed with it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really know, but that's the suspicion you have about it.
Was this business of the Fitzgeralds, you know, being a Fitzgerald people, not being good enough for you, did this come from, were they not supposed to be descended from the Earls of Leinster?
Oh, yes, yes, oh, yes. Oh, nobody was good enough for the Fitzgeralds. Oh, no. And my mother used to laugh about it.
Yeah.
But my father didn't believe it. My father, but my grandfather, yes, and my aunts, both my aunts, were very much. My aunt Delia was a little insignificant little woman, but Mary was a real lady of the manor, you know. Real carried herself with that. She had nothing. She hadn't two havens to rub on the tombstone, you know, but she still had that air about her. Delia, no. Delia was very modest sort of little. But I don't know what she would be if she thought somebody was not upholding the standards. You know, what the standards were, God alone knows. Anyway, they did live a good life, and they were decent people, and they had their special friends. And my grandfather loved his drop of hot toddy every night, and. Came the time he'd look up at the clock, and Delia had to get it ready for him then. Mm. It was always, he was regulation to the, having been a policeman, I suppose.
Yeah.
Everything had to be on time.
Yeah.
There was a grandfather clock, there was a wag of the wall clock
in the
kitchen living room.
Yes.
And we all loved that. But we don't know what happened to him. Because it was part of the house, part of the home, you know.
Mm.
We all loved that. And John was particularly But what happened to it, I don't know. I didn't ask when we saw them this year. Well, you can't. I mean, if the thing's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
I think they got rid of a lot of them.